All right, Psalm 115. I'm going to read three verses of Scripture here. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory, for Thy mercy, for Thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased.
Well, I wish all of you a good morning. And I just want to say thank you. For Claudia and I, it's been good. You've been so gracious, taking such great care of us. Hotel room, just wonderful. Only had one defect. There's a mirror on the wall, and it makes me look like I've gained about 50 pounds. Only thing that bothered me about that, about the whole thing, but maybe they'll get a new mirror before next time. But it's been good. Appreciate so much this church over the years. And Brother Donnie, you and Shirley, appreciate y'all so much. I tell you, they were such a blessing to our congregation, and they send their regards. I heard from some of them this morning, and just be sure and tell you hello. Nick said, Donnie, he said, be sure and tell Donnie hello for me. So anyway, you know, I go out to the prisons, and it's not speaking ill of the others that have gone out there, but they remember Brother Bell. How's Brother Bell doing? There's only one left. They didn't get out of prison. They just move them around a lot. Keep problems down. But there's one left out there. And he always asked me about Brother Bell. He would have been excited to know that I was coming up here. But I didn't see him last week before I left. But it's been a blessing. It's been a blessing to Central Louisiana. And I know he's been a blessing here. But he asked me to sing this hymn for you. I like it. I mentioned it last night. You always wonder when you're going to just quit singing, attempting to sing. I won't know it. You're going to have to tell me, you know. Have to do me like they do at the prison, you know, just just holler yard recall, I'll quit, you know. I remember Doris Mahan one time, they were at the church there and Kitchens Creek, and I said, Doris, do you still sing specials? And she said, heavens no. She said, there was no lady used to in our church when I was a young lady, and said she'd get up and she'd try. And she said she'd get done, and everybody said, well, bless her heart. She said, I don't want anybody saying to me, well, bless her heart, you know. So that's another way. Just keep it on your mind. But I'm glad to be here. Claudia and I have enjoyed it. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Now I want to talk to you about something this morning I know very little about. About something we attempt every time we meet together. Like this, something is called worship, adoration, to adore the Lord our God. In that first hymn that we sang. Now, if we had time, I'd begin at verse 1 and just keep right on reading this whole letter to this congregation in Ephesus. But what I want to say to us is going to come from verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You know, you go back and read this letter, the way Paul begins, he tells us what the Lord's done for us. Beginning there about verse 14, Paul prays for this congregation. Heard Brother Paul Mahan preach a message years ago. He preached on Ephesians 1, beginning there, verse 14, on Paul's prayer for this church. I still have my notes on it. I enjoy going back and reading those notes that I took of that message. It was a joy in my heart. Chapter 2, he tells what the Lord's done for us. This chapter 3, it's dealing with worship. Worship. Now, there's a great message here in this chapter where Paul speaks of that unveiling of that hidden mystery that the Gentiles, that's us, are made partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Great message. It also has a great prayer in it. Verse 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in these two verses, 20 and 21, a hymn of incomparable praise. You know, this short chapter has to do with everything that we do here this morning. Everything we do, no matter when we meet together. A reading of the Word, a praying, singing hymns of praise, and proclaiming the good news. That's all we do. Like Brother Donnie said last night, we all do it in a different order. And we might do it in a different order from one time to the next. But that's what we do. You know it's what we're going to do. With the emphasis been put on the proclaiming of the Word, proclaiming of the good news. Used to, you know, in Mexico, had trouble with people getting there on time. We always started at dark 15. Nobody had watches, but dark 15, we'd start service. And some of them would invariably be late. I don't know how. You know, Claudia and I talk, you know, you'd just think half the time they'd be on time early, no? Well, you know, a lot of times I'd just start preaching. I'd preach my message first. And they'd get there, we'd sing a hymn, go home. And they said, "Are we going to have preaching?" "We've already had it. Where were you?" You know, you do it hoping it'd stir some of them up just to be a little bit more considerate. People don't like to wait on anybody, do they? Want the whole world to wait on them. If you don't believe it, just get out here on these interstates and drive a little bit. But I tell you, we're still going to do the same thing. We're going to meet together. We're going to pray together. We're going to read the Scripture together. We're going to sing together. And we're going to preach together. I go out to that prison complex 5 times a week. We do the same thing. We meet together. We pray together. We read the Scripture together. We sing songs of praise together and not preach the gospel. No matter where we are. Now this hymn with which Paul closes this chapter, these last two verses, this hymn grows out of this chapter. It's just the natural outcome, the natural finish of everything that he said here. It's like putting a crown upon the whole thing. I think it was Spurgeon that said it's like that temple sitting on top of Mount Zion. Mount Zion was beautiful. And he said, but his crowning glory was that temple sitting right up on top of it. Well, that's what these last two verses are. That's the crown sitting up on top of this whole thing. And Paul presents the gospel. And he does it, and he talks about the different ways it came, different ways it affected, different ones, how it was presented to different people. And it's all distinguished by this word unto. Look at verse 5 with me. He says, "Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." It's not
it wasn't revealed to them in the past as clearly as it's revealed now. Under the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. And we today live in even a clearer light. Oh, and how grateful we ought to be that we don't have to look at those shadows and those types. We can, but my, we see the fulfillment of them. The pictures, all these pictures. We have the reality. You know, the inmates, excuse me for making reference to them, but they're such a picture of us. And you know, they get lonely to see their families. I've talked to them, they hadn't seen their families in 20, 25 years. Their children have grown up, adults, their grandparents, they've never seen any of them. They have pictures. And they'll bring me pictures. Brother Milton, I want you to see this picture. It's my new grandbaby. It, you know, and I think, and I use it for an illustration with them so often. You're going to get out of here one of these days. I hope most of them won't. But anyway, you just tell them, you're going to get out of here one of these days. And you won't, when you get out of here and you get home, you're not going to sit around and hug on those pictures. No, you're going to hug the reality. We don't get carried away with the shadows and the types and the pictures, as beautiful as they are. But reality, unto them. Look at what he says in verse 8. He speaks of the relation of this gospel to himself. He said, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, unto me is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. I tell you, what the gospel may do to others, it's of great importance to us. But that doesn't do me a whole lot of good. I can sit around and watch you eat and eat and eat and starve to death. Take a while, but I would. Unless we can testify what it's done for me. For each one of us personally. You know, can you say this morning, unto me is this grace given? Unto me. Then in verse 10, he speaks of this gospel being made known to the angels. He said, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. And this gospel, it has a relationship with these angels. They've always had something to do with it. They've always desired to look into it. They've always desired to see what we see. It's written of our Lord that He was seen of angels. And they rejoice over sinners that are saved. So they've always had a relationship with this gospel unto them. In Luke 15, He said, I say unto you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God. Over one sinner. Can you imagine that? Over one sinner that repenteth. In verse 16, he speaks of the relation of this gospel to these Ephesians. He says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh, that he might give it to you, grant to you. He prayed that the people would be strengthened with the power of God's Spirit in the inner man, that Christ would dwell in their hearts, that they would have an understanding of what it is to be loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be filled with the fullness of God. Now, did you notice as we were reading this, it all has to do with inside, in the heart? He says, you know, that we might be strengthened with the might of His Spirit in the inner man.
that Christ may dwell in your hearts. And they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ with passionate knowledge, and may be filled inside.
Religion has to do with the outside. It's what you can hang on it, paint on it, nail on it. It's all, that's religion. That's religion. Gospel has to do with the heart. I've never known a believer that was religious. I've never known a religious person that was a believer. Now you just think about that. Don't come up with any exceptions and ask me about them. Just think about it. We'll talk about it next year, some other time. But you see how it's all in the heart. All in the heart. And then here in these verses 20 and 21, he speaks of all this in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of heaven. Now unto Him, is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. No longer unto principalities and powers, no longer unto me, no longer unto the holy apostles and prophets, but his theme now is all unto Him. All unto Him. I pray that every one of us who've tasted that the Lord is gracious, that He's good, will look wholly unto the Lord. We might spend what little time we have here this morning just in reverent adoration of Him from whom all grace comes, and to Him all glory be given. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. So if unto Him there should be glory in the church throughout all ages, then to Him there should be glory in the church now and forever. In our text we have adoration. Adoration. I wish I had the words to describe that word. It's a result of praise and worship. One said praise is the river flowing in one direction, contained within its banks toward an object. We came across that Mississippi River Thursday. My, whenever it was. My, what a river. What a river. But it was all contained within those levees. Vidalia, Louisiana was high and dry. It wasn't. It was low. It was low and dry because of the levees. Natchez, Mississippi, on the other side of the river, it was high. Those bluffs. Boy, I'd hate to see that river get up that high. But you know, there were parts of it that flooded just here a few weeks ago. That river is flowing, though, contained within those banks toward an object. Adoration is that same river overflowing all of its banks, covering everything. Now, we start off with our praise, and it's all within those banks. Our prayers, it'll overflow those banks. We might truly come to worship and adore the Lord our God. Adoration is the fullness, the height, the depth, the length, the breadth of praise. It's the object of our praise, the end of our praise. You know, adoration seems to be as the heavens, always declaring the glory of God. And there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, it's that adoration. It comes down to that eloquent silence of the soul. You can't talk about it. There's no way you won't talk about it. It's the silence of the soul. A soul that's so full, it's too overwhelmed to even speak. To sink into the dust of humility for us to sink into nothingness in ourselves, yet filled with all the fullness of God, to lose ourself in Him. David and I were talking on the phone the other day. Now, David, I can't remember what you told me, but it had something about just getting in God's presence. It was talking about prayer. Just trying to get into God's presence. You don't do it with words. You don't do it by just standing on your knees till your knees look like camel's knees and you get proud of that. My, we get proud of everything, don't we? It's just somehow or another just to come into God's presence. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. If we could just turn away from everything else this morning and look to Him. And when you do, just think of His glorious character. You know, Paul declares here that the divine ability, declares that divine ability to bless us. And this so encouraged me. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you. To bless us above what we ask. He said in verse 20, "Now unto Him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all." There's that word again. A-L-L. All. Not that kind of all you put in the engine. No, this is all. A-L-L, all. All that we ask or think. And we've asked for some great things, haven't we? You ask the Lord to save you. You ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the Lord to reveal Himself to you. Boy, that's asking a lot, isn't it? Oh my. What a great thing to ask for. Yet He did that and so much more. More than we could ever ask or think. Many times we've cried for great deliverances and He delivered us. But how many times did He deliver us when we didn't ask for it? We didn't even know we were in danger. Still don't know it. But He just, above what we can even ask or think. Have you ever prayed and thought, well, that's just too much to ask for? But I tell you, it's never too much to ask for if you're one of His. If you're one of His children. But all which we've asked, we've never reached the bottom of divine ability. He's able to do more than we've ever asked or we have ever even thought. Our prayer at its best is only limited by our sense of our need. You think about that. And we don't have a clue what we need. Aren't you glad that you don't have what you thought you needed? Many, many things you thought you needed. I remember one time, years ago, Brother Gary Williams, I know you're back in the back somewhere, but anyway, wherever you are, there you are. You know, that man has a heart of gold. Been a friend a long time. He sent me some money. I wrote him back and I said, I don't know why you sent it. Right now, I don't have a need one. But I said, you know, but what do I know? Yeah. What do I know? Well, you know, it wasn't too long before I had a need. And it was covered. We don't know what we have need of. Not even at this very moment. Our prayer, that's what I said. It's just limited by how we understand. We have no idea of the depth of our necessities. Sin's ruined our spiritual appetite. So we hold back. But blessed be God, He's not limited by our sense of need, our understanding of our need. He does more than we ask or think. We only cried for forgiveness, didn't we? What'd He do? He made us His children. Heirs of God, joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's never put one of His children on a diet of bread and water. We're always like Mephibosheth. We just eat at the king's table. It's a banquet. A banquet. You ever wonder why you thirst again so soon? Might be because you're taking too small a bucket to the well. bring a bigger bucket. Because he's able to do more than we ever ask or think. Exceeding abundantly. More than we can ever ask or think. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Can you understand this ability? I tell you, we can't praise what we don't understand. And Paul says in verse 20, according to the power that worketh in us. We know that God can give us more than we ask or think because he's given us more than we've ever asked for or thought about. Our regeneration came to us before we ever prayed. Did you know that? My. We prayed because we were regenerated. Not in order to, but because of. Prayer is the first sign of the new birth that's already been given. To pray for life is not something the dead can do. They need life before they can pray for life. Regeneration puts us into the living desire and the spiritual longing. And the first principle of life imparted to us, it makes us long for life. Now don't ask me to explain all that, I just know it's so. He provided us with a substitute before we ever even knew we needed a substitute. And who would have dared to ask the Lord to give His Son as that substitute that we so needed to bleed and die for us? Never would have thought about that. Never would have thought about that. And in providing for us a substitute from before the foundation of the world, the Lord's, He's already gone way beyond our thoughts, our request. We didn't ask Him to choose us, did we? There's something else He did for us before the foundation of the world was ever laid. And I'm not going to go back, but later on, as Brother Scott always said, do it on your own time. But go back and read these first 9 verses of Ephesians, what He did for us. What He did for us. Well, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? That's what the Psalm, that was a question of what? What a question. Psalm 116. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits toward me? Praise. That's where it starts. Worship. Adoration. The psalmist answers his own question. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. You know, when God blesses us, He does something for us. When we bless God, we just brag on Him. We can't do a thing for Him. He doesn't need us. Doesn't need anything we could give Him. We just brag on Him. That's praise. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Oh, I tell you, may His exceeding goodness shine upon my soul. And may I glorify Him by manifesting to this whole wide world what great things the Lord hath done for me and hath had compassion on me. And may this praise, this worship, this adoration be not only in my soul, but I tell you, may it be in the whole church. Calling on all the people of God to praise Him. And if all this world suddenly becomes deaf mutes, goes silent, may the church always proclaim the glory of God. We stand all by ourselves doing it. Not ourselves as a congregation, by myself, by yourself. We're still going to praise Him. Psalmist said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good. For His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. And we can only do this by Christ Jesus. By proclaiming Him here. By proclaiming Him to this world. It's all we have to say. And may we do it throughout all ages. world without end, generation after generation. And what can we say to all this? What Paul said, amen. Boy, don't add to that. Don't take away from it. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Thank you. May the Lord bless you. Thank you, Brother Donnie.